We begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos, daf Chav Dalet. We begin 5 lines from the top. The Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, which was speaking about where a person could leave his tefillin at the night time. And the Gemara continues, Bar Kapara Tzayir Lehu Bechilta. He would wrap his tefillin in the curtain. That is the curtain that would go around his bed. He would wrap it in there, and that's where he would tie his tefillin for the evening. Umapik Lemurshahin Labar, and he would stick the bulge out to the outside. In other words, the part of the curtain where it had a knot that the tefillin were sticking out from the curtain, that he would turn towards the outside and not towards the bedside. And that was obviously because of the cover of the tefillin. Rav Shisha Bereidra of Idi Monach Lehu Asha Shifa, he would put it on a stool, Ufaris Sudra Ilavayu, and he would cover it with a scarf. And these are the different things that they did because they had to protect it from the mice or different elements, so therefore they would wrap it up and protect it in a way that it wasn't degraded and it wasn't exposed to anything improper. The Gemara brings a story related to this. Amar Rav Amnun the Bereidra of Yosef, Zimna Chod Havaki Ibn Kamei De Rava, V'amar Li Zil Eis Li Tefillin. One time I was in front of Rava and he told me, go bring my tefillin. And they says, I found it between his mattress and his pillow, not opposite his head, as we learned in the previous daf on the top of this amid, as a matter of fact, that a person is allowed to keep his tefillin under his head between his pillow and his mattress, but it can't be directly opposite the head. And he says, and he knew that it was the day of tefillah. In other words, it was the day that his wife had gone to the mikveh, that it was the night of that they had tashmish, that they had marital relations. And that is like Shmuel that says that even if someone is laying with his wife in bed, he's still allowed to have the tefillin under his head by his pillow. And Ulagmur and Halach Lamaisudavan, and he says, and the reason why he did this, that he commanded me to go bring it, the whole purpose was to teach me this halacha that we, in practice, actually paskin like Shmuel, because although sometimes the halacha might be paskin, it's different when it's a Maisarav. And he was teaching me this, that when he sent me on this mission to get his tefillin, was to show me that although that my wife was with me in the bed, it was that I was allowed to keep my tefillin under the pillow as Shmuel had paskin. Now the Gemara continues regarding different Devarim Shabakdusha related to having one's wife in there at the same time. As the Gemara says, Boi minei Rav Yosef Bered Rav Nechunyim Rav Yehuda. Shnaim sheyishin b'mita achas. When you have two people that are laying in one bed, Mao shezeyach zeponav yikur krishma, b'zeyach zeponav yikur krishma. What's the halacha? If they're both facing, they're both have each backs to each other, is it permitted mitzad the halachas of Krishma to say Dvarim Shebekdusha for one to face one way and the other one to face the other way, and each one will be saying the halachas of Krishma, which essentially the question is, if agavim, if the buttocks are considered erva, that they're touching each other from the rear, is that a problem regarding to recite the halacha, to recite the parashas of Shema? So Malay Hachim Shmuel, Vafilishta Yimo, he says Shmuel said not only that even can other people face the other way and say the Krishma, it's even if one's wife is back to back with him, still he could say the Kriyashma, because as long as they're facing face to face, that's Pashut, that was Asur to the Gemara, because there's a hearer, there's thoughts that happen when the Erva of the wife, the woman, is touching his Erva through their different Evarm of Tashmish. However, if they're back to back, that's permitted even if it's one's wife. So the Gemara asks, Mask Rav Yosef, Ishtoi V'loy Meboya Acher, are you saying that not only does Shmuel permit one's wife, and that for sure he would permit if he, let's say, have one man to the back of the other man, although that they're naked. Adarabba, ishtei kegufoi, achalav kegufoi. It would seem to be that, no, to the contrary, that one's wife should be mutter, because he's rogling her, he's used to her, and there's not so much here when he's back to back with her, but somebody else is not like his body, so whoever it shouldn't be, that person's agavim, that person's rear, should pose a problem regarding the problems of erva, of hiru, and therefore you should not be able to recite the parashas of Krishma. And therefore he wants to argue and say that possibly when Shmuel said ishtei ima, it was only ishtei and not kavochem others, rather others would be a problem. So the Gemara asks, Meisvei, the Gemara asks, according to Shmuel, that he said this halacha that is permitted with one's wife, we learned, shnayim sheyishen b'mita achas, we learned that when you have that this halacha, that when you have two people in the bed, although they're not dressed, one could be faced one way, the other one could face the other way, and they could say Krishma. V'tanya achritim, we learned in another braisa, hayoshem b'mita, uvanov ubnei beisa b'tzidoi, if someone's sleeping in his bed, and he has his sons and his and the people from his house at his side, in other words, they're all in the same bed, harezu lo yikru Krishma, then he cannot recite Krishma. Elim kein hoisu talis mafsek is menem, only if his cloak is so to speak, interrupting between them, and that he's not touching them flesh to flesh because his blanket is in between, then it would be permitted. And similarly also, if his children and his bnei bayis were katana, were minors, then it also would be permitted. So the Gemara now develops the question. According to the Rav Yosef's interpretation, that only one's wife is permitted, but others are forbidden, even if they're back to back, and that he said that you can explain now that these two brises, that is, one was talking about by his wife, and one's talking about by others. And this, that it says that B'nai Beisa would be a problem, that's not his wife. So therefore, the brisa that says that you could recite Kriyishma back to back, that's by one's wife. And the other one says that you cannot recite Kriyishma when others are in your bed, that's talking about by other people. However, and as the Gemara says, Habe Ishtoi, Habe Echad, that this one is by his wife, and this one is by others, which is what's called B'nai Beisa. El Shmuel Kashi, but according to Shmuel, it's difficult. Because how do we resolve that other brisa that says it's forbidden if others are in your bed? If we said even one's wife is permitted, Shmuel, so the way we said it was that for sure others are permitted. So how can we, why does the brisa say that it's forbidden if others are in the bed? So Shmuel, Rav Yosef, so Shmuel will tell to Rav Yosef, let Rav Yosef minicha, that according to Rav Yosef, does it really make sense? But we learned in the brisa that if someone was sleeping in his bed, and his bnei bayis are in the bed, which is his one's wife is included in bnei bayis, we said lo yikur kriyishma emkein hoyse talisim afsek b'neim, only if his talis, if his cloak is interrupting between them. So therefore, we find the brisa explicit that says that one's wife seems to also be a problem, and there even Rav Yosef agrees that one's wife is not a problem. He said, what do you have to say to resolve it according to Rav Yosef? You must say that even one's wife, that the one's wife regarding her rear touching his, that is a machlekes tanoim. So according to me, it's also machlekes tanoim, but not only regarding one's wife, but even others also. And therefore, the machlekes tanoim includes what the halacha is with one's wife and including others. So therefore, what Shmuel is proving is that the brises that are contradicting, even according to Rav Yosef, just Rav Yosef has only that they're arguing regarding the element of one's wife, and that they all agree that others is forbidden. He says, but once you're saying it's a machalik istanoim, so I could also say it's a machalik istanoim, and they argue not only regarding to the wife, or they argue regarding others also, because Shmuel says that wife and others are mutter, and the other brises is saying that wife and others are forbidden, but according to everyone, he's saying you must say that it's a machalik istanoim, so therefore it's not difficult more on Shmuel than on Rav Yosef. Now the Gemara returns to a halacha that we mentioned before, Omamar, Zemach Zeponda Bekari Kriyishma, that this one turns his face and says Kriyishma, and the other one turns the other way. So the Gemara asks the fundamental question that we're really discussing here, Voika Govis, but there are the buttocks, there's the rear, that they're touching from the rear, so that should seem to be a problem. So the Gemara says, Misayel Rav Huna, that this seems to assist in Rav Huna's teaching, the Rav Huna, a Govis in Behemishum Erva, that the rear, the buttocks, don't have a din of arayis, of erva, of the concealed parts of a person's body in regards to dvarim shebekdusha, and therefore, it's not a problem. You could say kriyishma, although they're touching. So the Gemara wants to bring another raya, another proof to Rav Huna. Leimim esayel Rav Huna, because we learned, ha'ishu yesheves v'koytze l'chalos aruma. A woman could be sitting on the ground, and she could separate her chala from the dough that she's making naked. What's the reason? Because she could cover her lower face in the ground. And that is, although we know that it's forbidden for someone that's naked to make the bracha on the hafrash of challah, but a woman that's sitting is permitted because when she's sitting, so then her lower face is covered in the ground. However, the brisa says, of aloha ish, but not the man. And that is because his testicles and his membrane are sticking out and it's visible. So therefore, that's a problem of ever, and therefore he cannot say the bracha. So what we see as a siyata l'Rav Huna, that although that her buttocks are revealed, that's still not a problem because that doesn't have a din erva, and therefore she's allowed to make a bracha. And that seems to assist Rav Huna that the agavas don't have a din erva. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Tirkam Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, that kegoin shoy panea toiches bekarka. It's talking about in a situation where her bottom is flush with the ground. And that is, it's so to speak, indented into the ground, and therefore, even her rear, her buttocks, is not showing, and therefore, although Be'etzah, maybe you could say that agavis they do have a din erva, and therefore it would be forbidden to make a bracha or kriyishma. However, here it's talking about a situation where even her rear is not revealed, and therefore she's allowed to make the bracha, whereas the man, his aver will and his beitzim will always be revealed, and therefore it would be us for him to make a bracha. Now the Gemara returns to another phrase we said before. Amamar, im hayibonav v'nei vayis ketana muter. That if his children and his b'nei bayis that are in his bed are minors, then it's permitted for him to say krishma even if he's touching them. So the Gemara asks, v'ka'ad kam, until what age are they considered minor that it's not a problem for them to have a din erva regarding his dvarim shebekdusha that there would be a problem of here? Rav Chisda, tinoikis ba'ashola sholem yom echad. A little girl would be up until the age of 3 years and one day. V'tinik ben tesha n'biyam echad, and regarding a minor boy, would be up to the age of 9 years and one day. And that is because that's the age when they come to the category of bia of intercourse. Up until then, in halacha, we reckon their bia, their intercourse, as anything. And therefore, that's the age when it begins. Igadarmi, that those that say a different age bracket. Tinoikis bas yod alef shana b'yem echad, v'tinik ben shtayim eser shana b'yem echad, that for a girl it's up to the age of 11, that it's not a problem, and for a boy it's up to the age of 12, and that is because that's the age when they come to the age of puberty, when they get the pubic hairs and that their breasts develop, and from then on, they're in the category of so to speak, erva, and a person lusts and desires after them when they reach that age group. And therefore, it only begins at 11 and 12, and not like the other mandama that it begins at age 3 and 9, respectively. So the Gemara says that idi v'idi, that both the age of 11 and 12 for the boy and the girl, is ad kedeh, until it's, as the pasuk says, shadayim nechoinu, that the breasts are developed, u'sa'orich tzemeach, and yehir is grown. That this is a pasuk in Yechezkel, that it's a reference to it's a metaphor, but what we see is that at that age is when the person is considered developed, and that's the age when it would be forbidden to say Kriyishma with minors at that age. So Amar Rav Kahana Ravashi, Hasam Amar Rav. So we know over there that Rav said regarding tefillin under one's head, as we mentioned on the previous daf, that Shmuel said that even if one's wife is in the bed with him, he's allowed to put his tefillin under his pillow. So Rav said, although the Braisa seems to contradict him, the halacha is like Shmuel. So Rav Ashi says that there Rav said, the avagav d'yuvta d'shmuel, hilchasakav say d'shmuel, that although the Braisa is obviously not like Shmuel, still the halacha is like him, as we mentioned before in the previous daf, because to protect the tefillin is more important than the bezillion of the tefillin. However, Hochamai, over here, regarding two people that are sleeping in the same bed, where Shmuel says that even if one's wife is with him, that he's allowed to say the Kriyishma, what is the halacha? Do we pass in like Shmuel or not? So Amalei, Atu Kulu B'chodo Mechter Mechtinu, says, do you think that we weave it all with, it's woven with one weave? In other words, because we pass in like there, like Shmuel, so here also we would? Elehechad Itma Itma, Vehechad Itma La Itma. No, that it would still be it would be forbidden to say Kriyishma if one's back is touching one's wife's back. And that is that where we say the halacha is like Shmuel, it's like him, which was regarding the halacha of putting tefillin on the one's head, even though his wife is in the bed. And this halacha regarding one's wife, regarding reciting the Dvarim Shebekdusha, specifically of Kriyishma, that would be forbidden. So now the Gemara continues on this pasuk that we mentioned, Sa'orich Tzameach, that Yehir has grown, that we spoke about the age when what regarding a woman is considered erva, and we mentioned that the hair of the woman, so the Gemara develops what aspects of a woman is considered erva that could be a problem regarding different areas in halacha. So Amar Rav Mar Rav Papa, Sar Yoytz Bebigdei Mahu. So first the Gemara asks regarding the pubic hairs of the man that's sticking out of his clothing, what's the halacha? In other words, is that considered erva, that since it's coming from that area, that it should be a problem to recite Kriyishma? Sakara leha sar sar. So he answered, he just called it here, here. In other words, what is it? It's just here. There's no problem regarding that it should have a din erva, and therefore it's not prohibited to recite Kriyishma in spite of the fact that his pubic hairs are sticking out of the clothing. Now the Gemara continues on this theme of erva regarding Dvarim Shebekdusha. Amar Yitzchak, tefach be'isha erva. Even an area of a tefach that's revealed from a woman is considered erva, its nakedness, and therefore it poses a halachic problem. So the Gemara asks, Lamai, regarding what area of halacha are we talking about? Elam listakuli, but if we're talking about regarding to gaze at the woman, and that's the isar of a stockless, that a woman's not allowed to gaze at a woman. V'omer Rav Sheshes, lamamana kos of tachshit and shabachutz, im tachshit and shabifnim. Rav Sheshes had said this halacha, that why when it talks about the spoils of Midian, when the Jewish soldiers who were over on the Isra of of the looking at the Benais Midian, that they were mistakel, they gazed at the Midianite women. So it says they wanted to bring, so to speak, a carbon to Hashem, and they brought the different jewelry from the Midianite women. So the question of Sheshes asked was, why does it put in the pasuk the jewelry from the outside of the women together with the jewelry of the women from the inside? And that is, they had certain jewelry which was called kumas, which was, so to speak, a shape of the woman's private area that they would make for the Midianite men would make for their daughters, and that they would shape out the area of the rechem, and they would make a hole just like they make holes in the ears, and they would stick it in over there so that males should not have relations with their daughters. So it says those jewelry, which was from the inner parts, together with the jewelry from the outer parts, which was etzada and summit, and these were the different jewelry we mentioned that they brought to be mechaper on the hira avera that they had by looking at the Midianite women. So why does it put those two together? So Rav Sheshe said, loy malcha to tell you that kol mestakel be'ezba katana shel isha, kilo mestakel b'mokom atrev, that whoever gazes even at the little pinky of a woman, it's as if he was gazing at the private parts of the woman, to tell you that the jewelry from the ear is the same as the jewelry of the private parts, and that is the Isra of Estaklis applies even to the revealed parts of a woman, even her pinky. So therefore, it obviously cannot be that when we mention that a tefach of the places of a woman that's usually covered, that that's a problem. It's even by revealed parts that's a problem for the Isra of Estaklis. So what are we referring to when the tefach is revealed as a problem? Rather, we're talking about even by one's wife, where there's essentially no Isra of Estaklis of gazing at her. However, it's related to Kriyishma, that if his wife is uncovered, even a tefach of what's usually covered, he's not allowed to recite Kriyishma facing her, and that's because Dvarim Shebekdusha is usher regarding the Erva, and an uncovered part of a woman that's usually covered is considered Erva. Now the Gemara continues on the Dine of Erva. Amrav Chizda, Shoik Be'isha Erva, the thighs of a woman has a din of erva, and that is either has the problem of being mistakel of gazing at her, or even regarding one's own wife for the halachas of Kriyishma, that if his wife's thighs are revealed, he's forbidden to recite Kriyishma opposite facing her. Shanem, as it says in the pasuk, geli shoik, the thighs exposed, ivri naharis, crossing the rivers, and then the pasuk says after that tigal ervasich, that your nakedness will be revealed, v'gam tiroch er pasich, and also your embarrassment will be seen. So we see from the psukim that it says that the revelation of the thigh, it says right after, is considered togel er vasich, that your nakedness will be revealed. So we see that this thigh in halacha has a din of erva, and therefore it's forbidden to recite Kriyishma facing a woman's thigh. The Gemara continues on another aspect of erva. Amar Shmuel, kol bi'isha erva, the voice of a woman has a din of erva of nakedness. Shnema, it says in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, which is a metaphor describing the beauty that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael, ki koylich ariv, because your voice is sweet, umarech nava, and your countenance is comely, is beautiful. So from here we see that Hashem is praising in the metaphor of the woman, that your voice is beautiful, that we see that there's a taiva for that. There's a lusting for the woman's voice, and specifically when she sings, that there it has a din of erva, and therefore it would be forbidden for a man to listen to the woman singing, and especially when it comes regarding reciting Dvarim Shebekdusha. The Gemara continues with another aspect of erva. Amrav Sheshes Sar Be'isha Erva, even the hair of a woman has a din of erva. Shnemaz says in the pasuk Sarich Ke'eder Ha'izim, it says there in Shir Hashem that your hair is like the flock of goats, that Hashem is, so to speak, again praising the beauty of Klal Yisrael and the metaphor of the woman, that your hair is like the flock of goats, and therefore we see again that hair also inspires lust in a man, and therefore that would be Aser Medin Erva. So now the Gemara goes back to the topic of tefillin that we were originally discussing. Amar Chanina, ani reisias Rebbe shetala tefillov. I saw that Rebbe suspended his tefillin. He hanged it up on a peg. So the Gemara asked Meisvei. We learned that tola tefillov yitulo chayiv, that whoever suspends his tefillin, that is, he puts it on a peg, so then his life should be suspended, and that is because that's a disgrace to the tefillin. And then Doshi Chamures Amar, the interpreters of the hidden meanings of the difficult passages, the chapters in the Torah, The Amr, they say, and that's the interpretation of a pasuk in Sefer Devarim that says, that your life will be suspended before you. That zehat toilet tefillah. That's someone that suspends his tefillah, and his life will be suspended in front of him. So therefore, we see that it is usur for a person to hang his tefillah, as it's saying, because when the pasuk says v'hoychayecha tulum, your life will be hanging, because the Torah is a person's life, and therefore that's a reference to a person that his life will be suspended because he hung up his tefillah, which is the Torah. So therefore, how could Rebbe have done that and suspended his tefillah? So the Gemara answer is loy kasha. Habritsua habik tzitza. There where we said that it's usur is when you're hanging the tefillin by the strap. And that is, now the batim are hanging on the bottom. That's a disgrace for the tefillin. But however, where we said that was mutter, where it was hanging from the box, and there only the straps are hanging, that is mutter, that's not as disgraceful for the tefillin, because the main part of the tefillin, the batim, is there on top, and the only thing that's hanging are the ritsuas. That's one answer. The Gemara gives another answer. Vibay seima. No, that whether it was hanging from the batim, from the main box of the tefillin, or even from the straps, either way, it's disgraceful for the tefillin. When did we say Rebbe suspended his tefillin? It was in the pouch. And that is, he put it in the bag, so to speak, and the bag was hanging from the peg. So that's what he did. So the Gemara asks, so if so, what were we going to say? What's the problem? You're not hanging, the tefillin's not being disgraced. It's hanging from, let's say, a shopping bag. So the Gemara says, what would I have thought? That the tefillin need to have a placement like a sefer Torah, that it can't just be hanging. You never saw a sefer Torah hanging. No, that tefillin, as long as it's not hanging from the straps or from the batim, as long as it's in a sack or bag, then it's mutter, and that's what the chiddush was. It's saying it's not a problem. And now the Gemara continues with another statement by the same Amora in what he saw, what he witnessed Rebbe do, and refers to what Rebbe's conduct was during his davening. And that is, he did different things, and that he's telling you this chidushim that you're allowed to do them, and it's not disrespectful in the middle of davening. I saw Rebbe in the middle of his davening, shigihek. There's two interpretations. Either it means that he belched, that he burped up the food that he ate, or it means that he stretched, like when a person is tired, that he stretches. And Rashi says that the word gihek could mean gav hekim. It's like an abbreviation of that when a person gets up, that he stretches. Upihek, and he yawned. Which is also, the word pihek is piv hakim, that he opened up his mouth. That's what a person does when he yawns. V'nis atzish, and he sneezed. V'rak, and he spit. He did all these things in the middle of davening. We continue on to Amud Beis. U'memashmish bebigdoi, and he handled his clothing, in other words, to get rid of the lice that was biting him. Avaloi ho'yim misatif, but he wouldn't wrap himself in his tefillin. That is, if his tefillin fell down in the middle of davening, he wouldn't take it and wrap it back on, so that not to interrupt in the middle of his davening. That's the way Rashi says it, that it's two different things, the one of handling his clothing and the fact that he wouldn't wrap himself in his talis. But Tosfos brings from the Rach that it was one halacha, that in other words, that he would be mamashmish in his beged, that he would fix his talis that was falling off his head if it didn't totally fall off. But loyhoi mesatif means that if, let's say, it totally fell off, so now it would be a major hefsik to go ahead and rewrap himself. So since it totally fell off, he wouldn't put it back on. And only if it was to fix it a little bit, that wouldn't be a hafsik, so then he would be mashmash in his beket. Either way is that when it fell off, everyone agrees that he wouldn't rewrap himself. However, then he qualifies, ukashuhu mefag, but when he would yawn, hayamanich yodei al-santeri, he would put his hand on his chin, and that is so that you shouldn't be able to see the opening of his mouth to cover the yawn out of respect. So we see that these things of burping and yawning and spitting on the ground and of stretching are all things that are permitted. At least this is what he had done during his tefillah. However, the Gemara asks now from a braisa that seems to contradict what he had done. We learned, Tamashmiya koyli b'tefilasai, harezim akat neman. Whoever has his tefillah shabalachash, his quiet private tefillah that it's heard, that others could hear it, he's from those who have little emuna, little faith in Hashem. That is as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hear his whispered tefillah, and therefore he says it a little bit louder, so he's considered from those who have little emuna. Hamagibia koyle b'tefilasai, someone that elevates his voice very much, that he says it, screams it out loud, harezim nevi hasheka, he's from the false prophets. As the pasuk in Malachim Aleph Yitzchah says, "Beyikru b'kol godla," that those who served the false prophets, they said it, they screamed it out loud, and that it's something negative to do. Megahik umefahik harizim megasi ruch, someone that belches or yawns during his tefillah, so that's a person that has gaiva, that he's from so to speak disrespectful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of his tefillah. Hamisatish b'tefilasai simin ralai, and whoever sneezes during his davening, it's an evil omen for him. And v'yesh oimrim nikashu makur, it's evident that this person is a foul person. if he sneezes during his tefillah. And harag b'tfilosay ki l'rag b'fnei ha-melech. And whoever spits in the middle of his davening, it's as if he spit in front of the king. So we have all these things that seem to contradict him. We see that belching and yawning is a problem. It has a din of gaiva. We see that sneezing is an evil omen. And we see that spitting is as if you're spitting in front of the king. All the things that we saw that he had done. So the Gemara tries to resolve this. Bishlem and Megayik and Mefaik Lukasha, regarding the fact that he belched and that he yawned in the middle of his tefillah, that's not a question, because Kanla Ainsa Kanla Tsaine. When Rebbe had done these things, it was involuntary. In other words, the burp just came up, and the yawn sometimes comes. And here what we said that it's us is when the person does it deliberately, that he burps out of willfulness and he yawns because of disregard. El Mesatish HaMesatish Kasha, but regarding sneezing, it seems to be difficult because you can't give that same answer because sneezing is always involuntary. And here it says that it's a bad omen and he had done this. So Gemara answers, Mesatish HaMesatish Namelei Kasha. Sneezing is also not a problem. Kamel Mala Kamel Mata. Here where Rebbe had done it, that it's not a problem, is sneezing through the nose. Here where we say that it's an evil omen and that it seems that it's a foul person is when he's sneezing through the rectum. And that is that he's passing gas and then making loud noise from the rear. That type of sneeze was the one that was forbidden. The Amr Reb Zera, Halmilsa Avli Beir Rav Amnuna, as Reb Zera said that this halacha was taught to me in the yeshiva of Amnuna, utkilali kikule talmidoi, and it was worth it to me, it was weighed, so to speak, to me, opposite all my learning that I'd done. And the reason was because since he sneezed a lot, so it was very precious to him, this halacha, that it says the evil omen is only sneezing from the rear, but not sneezing through the nose, and therefore it was very good for him, because, so to speak, it would be something very challenging for him if it was considered a simin ra, or considered a foul person. So the Gemara says, HaMes'atish b'tfilosai simin yafalei. To the contrary, that someone that sneezes during his davening, it's a good sign for him. And that is, Keshim sha'oisim lo'y nachas ruach malmata, kech oisim lo'y nachas ruach malmala. This is the halacha that was taught to him, that just like they're doing something of a nachas ruach for him here down there on this world, because sneezing is something pleasurable for a person, so too they're doing a nachas ruach for him, something pleasurable for him up there in Shemayim, and that is they're going to answer his tefillas. So we resolve sneezing and belching and yawning. But then the Gemara says alarok arok kasha. But we have the challenge from the fact that spitting is considered spitting in front of the king, which is disgraceful. So Gemara says, "Rok arok namale kasha." Spitting is not a challenge. Efshe could Rabbi Yehuda, you could say, as Rabbi Yehuda said, that he says aloha that a person should, so to speak, wipe his saliva in his turban that he wears on his head, and there would be two different parts of the turban hanging out on the side of his face. As the Gemara says, "Dam Rabbi Yehuda, hayayimid b'tfila b'niz damalei reg." If someone was in the middle of davening and then he has saliva in his mouth and he has to get rid of it, mevliya b'talisa, he should absorb it in his talis, in his cloak. V'im talis nohu, but if it's, let's say, it's a nice talis and it doesn't want to ruin it, mavliya b'afra kasusai. So then he could absorb it in his turban, and that's what Rebbe had done. Rebbe did not spit on the ground. Rather, he spit in his turban, and that's mutter, but spitting on the ground, that's usr, and that's what the Braisa says. So therefore, we resolve all the four halachas regarding what the specifics are regarding the halacha, but everything he had done regarding the involuntary belching and the involuntary yawning, that those are permitted. And the spitting in the turban is mutter. And regarding the sneezing is also permitted, and it's only sneezing that comes from the rear that is also. So the Gemara brings a story related to these halachas. Ravina have a koi achirid Ravashi. Ravina was behind Ravashi. And his damalei roik, so Ravashi was in front of him, had spit. Paskil achiri, so he threw it behind him. So Amalei lisavala mara lohod Rav Yehuda mavliba for kasusa. Don't you hold to this halacha of Rav Yehuda that you have to at least absorb it in your turban? What are you doing spitting it on the floor, which would seem to be disrespectful? I have delicate sensibilities in that I'm not spitting in front of me, because that would be spitting in front of the king, but I can't put it in my turban or anything that I'm wearing, because that would disgust me, and therefore I have to spit it behind me. So now the Gemara returns to what we mentioned before, that someone that his private tefillah is heard, that others can hear it, so he's considered those who have very small faith in Hashem. So Amr Rav Huna, Loishanu Elishayochel Chavenes Libe Balachas. Rav Huna qualifies this and says it's only if he could focus his tefillah by saying it quietly. But if he cannot, Aval Enyachal Lachavenes Libe Balachas Mutter, but if he can't focus without hearing it and saying it out louder, so then it's permitted for him to say his tefillah, his private tefillah out loud. However, he says, this heter of saying your tefillah out loud is only if you're davening by yourself. But if you're davening out in the shul, in the public, and with the congregation, then it's forbidden because you're going to disturb others that are davening, and therefore, even if you cannot focus so well, you're not allowed to say your tefillah balachis, your private tefillah, out loud. Now the Gemara returns to this about itush, about passing gas during one's tefillah. Rav Abba was avoiding Rav Yehuda. And the reason was, he wanted to go up and make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. And the reason why he was avoiding Rav Yehuda was, whoever goes up from Bavel, from the Gullus, from the diaspora, onto it, to Eretz Yisrael, he transgresses a mitzvah's essay, a positive mitzvah. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, they will be brought to Bavel, v'shamayu, and there they will be, ad yoyim pak di'oysim nam Hashem, until the day that I remember them, says Hashem. So he was saying from that pasuk that you have to stay there. Hashem is saying that you cannot go up to Eretz Yisrael until he brings you back with Mashiach. So, Amar Ezel v'eshma minei milsim beis vada v'hadar apik. So he says, but let me go ahead and listen to Dvar Halacha from Rabbi Yehuda. Let me go to the outside and hear from the window, from the Beis Medrash. Let me hear Halacha from him, and once I hear the Halacha, then I'll go up to Eretz Yisrael. But he didn't want to go into the Beis Medrash that he'll see him. So Azul Ashkechei L'tana Diktana Kamed Rabbi Yehuda, he went, and he was listening from outside, and he heard a Tana reciting in front of Rabbi Yehuda the following Halacha. Ha'ya'imi b'tfilah b'nis'atish, if you're standing in tefillah, and then he passes gas. So then, mamtin atshayich l'haruach, he has to wait until the wind passes from his body, that it smells from that wind. B'chayzim espal, then he goes back and continues davening from the place where he interrupted when he passed gas. Ikadami, that those that say, and he said in the other version, was ha'ya'imi b'tfilah, u'bikish l'satish. Rather, a person is in the middle of davening, and he has the urge to pass gas. Then marchik la'achrev dalad amis umis atish. He goes back, he steps back four amis, and there he passes gas. Umamtin dad shayich laharuach. V'chayiz mispal, he waits until the wind passes, and then he goes back and he continues davening. V'ayman, he says in the middle of his tefillah, because he already interrupted already through the passing of the gas, therefore he could be mafsik to say the following tefillah, which is Rebbeinu shel olam, Master of the world, yitzartanu nekovim nekovim chalulim chalulim. You formed us with different openings and different cavities. It's revealed in front of you, and it's known our shame and our humiliation when we're alive. And our end is going to be worms and maggots. And that's what he's saying, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know that we're not perfect, we're not malachim, and so to speak, to excuse himself for having to pass gas in the middle of his tefillah. And it continues from where he interrupted his tefillah. So Amalei, he says, had I not come just to hear this halacha, it would have been enough that this is such an important halacha to know, that if a person has the urge, or he does pass gas, of what he should do, that he should stop and wait till the wind passes, and if he steps back for amos to say the following tefillah, and then continue his tefillah. So now the Gemara continues on regarding the Dvarim Shebekdusha, specifically of, let's say, Shema, when a person is naked, what are the halachas, as we're discussing on these dafim, regarding the Dine Arayas of Erva, regarding reciting Dvarim Shebekdusha. So now the Gemara continues with the theme of the current dafim, regarding reciting Dvarim Shebekdusha, specifically Shema, when one is able to see an Erva, and the Gemara is going to discuss specifically when one could see one's own Erva, if what the halachas are regarding reciting Krishma. Turn up on. If someone's sleeping under his blanket and he can't even stick out his head from the blanket because it's too cold, so what does he do? Because he's sleeping naked and he wants to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha, but he sees his own erva. So the halacha is, so he interrupts his talis on his throat, that he presses it against it. Now his eyes are not seeing his erva. And although he's all under the same blanket, but it's interrupting, and then he could recite Krishma. The Yeshem, and those that say Alibay, that he should wrap around the talis by where his heart is. In other words, between his erva and his heart, around his waist area, that he should wrap around his blanket tightly over there. So now his heart is not seeing his erva, and then he could recite Krishma. So the Gemara asks, V'tanakama hare libay roya erva. What does the Tanakama do? But his heart is seeing his erva, and that should be forbidden. So the Gemara says, "Ksava liber reisa erva mutter." That the Tanakhama holds that if his heart is seeing his erva, that's not a problem. As long as his eyes, his face, is not seeing his erva, and you wrap it around your neck, it's permitted. So the Gemara continues on these halachas of what the specifics are, requirements of cleanliness regarding reciting Kriyishma. Amar Rav Huna Rabbi Yochanan. If someone was walking in the filthy alleyways, he puts his hand on his mouth and he recites Kriyishma, and that is that he should his mouth, which is reciting these dvarim shebikdush, should not be exposed to the filth that's out there. So Amalei Rav Chizda said, Hoylekim, by God, if Amalei Rav Yochanan bepumi loytzayis nalei, even if Rav Yochanan would tell me this halacha with his own mouth, I wouldn't listen to him, and that is it doesn't help just to cover your mouth. So Igadami, Amar Rabbi Bachanan and Bishum Malevi, some say it in the name of Bishum Malevi, that he said this halacha, that if you're going in the filthy alleyways, you put your hand on your mouth and you recite Krishma. So Amar Rabbi Chizdo, Elikim, and Amar Rabbi Bishum Malevi, Bipumi, let's see, the same statement that had Rabbi Bishum Malevi told me this halacha with his own mouth, I wouldn't listen to him. So now the Gemara asks, that Umiyom Reb Huna Hachi, did Reb Huna actually say this halacha that in the filthy alleyways that it is permitted to recite Kriyishma as long as one puts one hand over one's mouth? Vam Reb Huna said, Talmud Chacham also lay lamed b'makom atei nefes. Talmud Chacham is not allowed to stand in a filthy place. L'fishi'ef shalei lamed b'lei hira Torah, since it's impossible for the Talmud Chacham to stand without thinking in Torah. And since Torah is forbidden to think about in a filthy place, so therefore the Talmud Chacham cannot be standing in a filthy place. So here we see that even hiru, even thinking, is forbidden in a filthy place. So how could Rav Huna have said that you could even recite and verbalize the Dvarim Shebikdusha in the filthy alleyway with just covering one's mouth with one's hand? So the Gemara says, Loi kasha, kam ba'oimid kam mahalach. Where Rav Huna was machmer by a Talmud Chacham was where he's standing. But where he's going, there it wasn't as stringent, and therefore although he's passing the filthy alleyway, since he's just passing through, then it's permitted as long as he covers his mouth with his hands. So now the Gemara asks, but Umiyam Rabbi Yechanan hachi? Rav Huna said this halacha in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Did Rabbi Yechanan say that it's permitted in to say Kriyishma in the Mevois HaMetunafis in the filthy alleyways? V'am Rabbi Barachana, Am Rabbi Yechanan, B'chamokim mutu lahar b'divri Torah, Chutz mi'beis ha-merchetz mi'beis ha-kisa. The Rabbi Yechanan says that everywhere you're allowed to think in the words of Torah, besides in the bathhouse and in the bathroom. So we see that even hiru is forbidden in a filthy place. So how would he permit it to actually even verbalize Kriyishma? So and if you're going to answer the same way we said before, that when did Rabbi Yechanan say that it's forbidden in the Beis HaKise, that's where he's staying there, but when he's walking by, then it would be permitted. Ini, is that so? Would he make that difference? Rabbi Avo was going behind Rabbi Yechanan, and he was reciting the Kriyishma. So when he got to the filthy alleyways, he was quiet, he stopped reciting the Kriyishma. So after they passed by, where should I go back to? In other words, I stopped for a long time. We were passing by these filthy alleyways. Where should I return to where I was reciting the Kriyishma? So Rabbi Yechanan told me that if you pause, that you'd be able to finish the whole entire Shema, then you have to go back to the beginning because that interruption undoes whatever you said, and therefore you have to go back to the beginning. So we see from here that Rabbi Yechanan agrees that you're not allowed to recite Kriyishma when you go into Mevois HaMetunafis, even though they were just passing by. So the Gemara answers no. Hachi Kamali, this is what Rabbi Yechanan was telling to Rabbi Abba. Lidi di loy svirle. According to me, I don't hold to that. In other words, I wouldn't have required you to stop reciting your Kriyishma, because since we're just passing through, you're allowed to say Dvarim Shebikdusha. Lididach, the Svir Lach, according to you that you hold that it is forbidden to recite Kriyishma, im shahisa kedei ligmeres kula chayz l'raish, if you waited the amount of time that you could have finished the whole Shema, then you have to go back to the beginning. And therefore it's not difficult. We have Rav Huna and Rabbi Yechanan that they would say that it's permitted to recite Kriyishma even in the filthy alleyways as long as you cover your hand with your mouth, since it's just passing by. Yet they both agree that if you're standing and staying in that area, that then it would be forbidden, even in here, even in thought. So now the Gemara says that Tanika Vosad Rav Huna, we learned a Braisa that seems to say like Rav Huna that it's permitted, and Tanika Vosad Rav Chizda, we learned a Braisa like Rav Chizda that seems to say that it's forbidden. Tanika Vosad Rav Huna, we learned Hamahalach Ben Mavoyis Hamatunafis, Manich Yodal Piv Yikur Krishma, exactly as Rav Huna said Alocha, that you could put your hand on your mouth and recite Krishma. Tanika Vosad Rav Chizda, that says Hoyimahalach Ben Mavoyis Hamatunafis, Lo Yikur Krishma, that whoever's going in the filthy alleyways is not allowed to say Krishma. And then the Braisa continues. And not only that, but even if you were already reciting Krishma and you get to that area, you have to stop. So the Gemara asks, Loi Pasek Mai. Let's say if a person did not stop and he continued reciting Krishma even in the filthy alleyways, what is he considered? Amar B'yaisha Barbaredi B'shuma Levi, Olav HaKasav Ayma, on such a person, the Pasek says as follows, a Pasek in Yecheskel, V'gam Ani Nestati Lehem Chukum Loi Taim, and I also gave them decrees that are not good, U'mishpatim Loi Yichabahem, and laws that they won't live by. In other words, you could be doing a mitzvah that you will not be getting life out of it, and it will not be good for you because although you're doing this mitzvah of Krishma, it's a negative because you're reciting it in a filthy place. Rabasi Amar Mehacher. Rabasi says from this pasuk, which is a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Hoy Moishchei Ha'oven B'chavle Hashav. Woe to those that pull the sin with cords of falsehood. And that is that Rashi interprets the word Hashav in from the term of weak. And that is that he's pulling with ropes that aren't strong, rather they're very easy to get undone. And these are those that pull the sin on themselves, that even through speech itself, he's being punished. That's where he's saying that it's in something very easy, he's getting punished. That's b'chav le'ashav, even by the weak ropes, that just by speech, he's going to get a great punishment because he's saying it in the mevois hametanafis. Taisus gives a different interpretation for chav le'ashav. That word shav means b'chinam, for nothing. And that is, he's bringing sin on upon himself for nothing, that it would have been better for him not to do the mitzvah at all. And this that he's reciting Krishma is not only not working in favor of him, it's working as a demerit, as a negative for him. And then the Gemara brings from a different Amor of Adbar Abba Omer Mahochi, he brings a different pasuk, Kidvah Hashem Baza, because the word of Hashem he scorned, and that is that from the word Dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem, in other words, that he's saying the words of Hashem, that he's scorned by saying it in the Mevayis Hametanafis. So the Gemara says, V'im Pasek Maschah, and if he does stop, and although he's in the middle of saying Shema, he gets to these filthy alleyways and he stops saying Krishma, what is his reward? Remember, Vo, Allah HaKasav Ayman, such a person, the Pasek says, Uvadava Hazeh Tarich Yom, that through this, you will have lengthened days. That's from the word ubadavar hazeh, that because of this speech that you were careful about, that you did not say, in that merit, you have longer days. And that is, we have this machloikis of Rav Huna and Rav Chizda in our Gemara that we saw regarding mevoyis hametanafis, walking through the filthy alleyways. According to Rav Huna, it's permitted as long as you're passing through. And according to Rav Chizda, and we saw many different psukim which seem to illustrate this, that it's forbidden, in spite of the fact that just walking through to recite Dvaram Shebikdusha, the Parshas of Kriyat Shema, when walking through the filthy alleyways.